What is up, Southbrook families? Eric Fleming coming to you from Southbrook Christian Church. Glad to have you here this week. Hope everyone's having a glorious week, as today is Wednesday, and well, school for us was out. Centerville was out, and I think everybody else was in, though. It was a weird morning today for us.
It was a weird morning. What up, fams?
Steve Holt in the house, as you look at you sitting there and all your...
I'm good. Believe me, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. You're glad to be here.
Had that flu bug. It was not fun.
That's not a fun experience.
No, it was
for
not.
Sure. Although, not fun at all, but we are glad you made it through. Here you are, right?
Yeah.
Here we are, ready to share some wonderful content with our families as we are diving into a much-needed series, a three-week series in both middle school and high school. We're covering the exact same topic, and so our segments are going to be together, middle school and high school. And we're going to talk on some things that are very, very important to students, but I know a lot of our questions have come from families as well on this topic, and so we're doing a three-week series on just kind of tech, social media. We'll bring in some gaming with that as well. On then essentially the overview of just boundaries in place, right? Putting boundaries in place with this. And so I don't know about you, Steve, but there's been a lot of questions for sure. Families, I know, you know, as my kids are getting older, your kids have grown up, you've got one left in the house.
Yep.
And so this is very much I think a hot button issue, like from parents, how far do we regulate this? How far do we put boundaries on this? When is a great time to start them with a phone or social media? How do we help guide them through that time? Because maybe for a lot of us adults, we don't even have appropriate boundaries in place.
Right.
So it's hard for us to even. So I get it. We've got a lot of questions.
It's not going away. I mean, if Twitter goes away, something will be there to take its place. So social media is here to stay.
Well, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that we're wanting to do with this is not demonize it, because it is an absolute blessing and connectivity that we've never been as connected as we ever have in our world. And it's a great tool. But I would also say it's led us to be the most disconnected of all time, right? Like,
totally agree.
We will talk about this throughout the next 3 weeks, that it leads to the physical relationship gets replaced with the digital relationship. And we'll talk about things of what's the trade-off there, what happens when that takes precedent and things are missed, because God and his beautiful foresight knew that we, as he created us, that we are created to be physical beings, and connection and social interaction is key. And so we'll talk about some of those things. And so if you've been following along with us, we've talked about how we've got the Facebook page. This is very important as we go through these next 3 weeks, because we are going to upload quite a bit of resources and content for you to use. I've shared it a few times. The book that I'm reading through that is absolutely just unreal, just an incredible book when it comes to this, the science of things, statistics, help and how to kind of navigate this time. Glow Kids, we'll upload that. We got some other resources that we'll upload, like Navigating Our Digital World. TechWise Family is another great book. And so all these things, as we share some things from these books, we'll upload these to the Facebook page so you can have quick access to where to get those if you want to check those out. There may be some articles we post there. There may be some, I think it came across a digital contract sense that parents could use with their kids that we'll upload, all these things that we'll put on that Facebook page. So make sure you search for the Family Podcast on Facebook. We have a page there that we're pretty active on. So go over there, like it, and follow us to get all the updates when the latest podcast comes up. And so that's the direction we're going for the next 3 weeks as far as Epic is concerned. And so this new series we're in is called No Filter. Appropriate, obviously, that's a big term when it comes to social media. You're posting pictures. You may see that hashtag No Filter. Simply means a kid is posting a picture with no filter. That's it. It's the true shot, right?
Yep.
There's no filter used on that. And so it's using that wording to kind of cover over this 3 weeks of, man, we got to have, when it comes to our tech use, filters in place. Essentially, so we talk on those things. And so, Steve, why don't you introduce this? This past week, I know we had for me in middle school, I was out of town. So Brian Greenlee, a key leader who leads worship and will step in for me to teach in middle school, taught in middle school, And then Sunday is when you got sick. You got that amazing
Montezuma's revenge.
Yeah,
which
right. What Montezuma's revenge? So right. So that was brutal day. So Brian and his wonderfulness stepped in again, but which is really cool when we're talking on the same subject. He got to take the talk he did Saturday night with middle school and brought that over to high school for Sunday night.
Yeah. First of all, I mean, you need to understand. I know Eric and I run the show, but if it wasn't for our volunteers, I tell you what, we wouldn't be able to do what we did and do what we do. And my volunteers for high school ministry just really stepped up in a big way. And so I appreciate all they did to scramble and make this thing happen, and really appreciate Brian just, you know, reaching out to me and saying, hey, you want me to fill in for you? And so he did an admirable job just stepping in and also be the jack of all trades. So
anyway,
thank all the volunteers and for Brian. And like you said, we opened it up talking about filters.
Yep.
And how those filters that we use in social media. My kids love to make faces of me because my wife just dies hysterically when they take a filter of my face, which is totally unlike me. It's not me, but it's funny. But it's kind of like what happens to teenagers and all of us when we start using social media. We have those filters, and we view everything through those filters. And we start to judge ourselves and everything about us by judging all the images and all the things that we see that are out there in front of us. And
right.
Where we came from during this first message, this first series, was basically talking about, where Apostle Paul, he is, he's the bad guy, was the bad guy. He was hated everything about Christians. Jesus came and changed him. When someone dead appears to you and causes you to rethink some things, I mean, you're going to change your attitude about things.
Right.
And so he was, this huge missionary that was the leader in the Christian movement. And he's there, and he's known for a lot of his writings, three quarters of the New Testament, and was just writing encouraging letters to all the new churches. And in the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 2:10, he just writes these five words: "For we are God's handiwork." And if we were to take that word handiwork, it's not something we really use a lot, but basically kind of translate it into our own language. In the Greek, it's poem, P-O-I-M-E, and translated today's terms, that's masterpiece. And so basically what he was trying to tell them, as well as all of us, that each one of us are God's masterpiece, and we are worth so much more, and we are placed, each of us, on this planet to be his masterpiece,
yep,
and do great things. So
that's great. Yeah, and it's, and you know, like, when we start with that, we launch in to this 3-week series on getting them to see who they are in
God.
Because that's key. Because what happens in our digital world when social media takes place, what happens is they try to find their worth and value through that medium.
Right. Because they're so embedded and enmeshed in that world. Mm-hmm. The story I heard that I was going to speak to them about is, it's kind of like the eagle egg that was found by the prairie chickens. And the prairie chickens, have you heard this story?
This is legit.
That's a legit story.
Okay, sorry. Prairie chickens got me laughing.
So I know. And so prairie chickens, they're just on the earth. They're roaming around. Like, they don't do nothing.
Yeah.
They eat trash all the time. They're pecking at the ground. Okay. And they find this eagle egg. And so this mother prairie chicken sits on it. It hatches. And so then you have this eagle amongst these prairie chickens that all its life, hangs around the prairie chickens. And every so often, they'll look up in the sky and there's this eagle floating and flying up above, above everybody. And, he's thinking, I wish I could be that way. I wish I could be that way.
But he's just a prairie chicken.
And he's just a prairie chicken. He thinks he is. But he has that all potential. But he's comparing himself
right,
to what he's around.
Around right?
And what he's... you know what I mean? Sorry. So that's what we all do.
I'm not prairie chicken makes me laugh.
It took me a minute to get you to figure that out, but it's all right. But that's what we do. We're a bunch of prairie chickens, and we try to compare ourselves to what's around us to realize that God has made us a masterpiece, and we're worth so much more.
Yeah.
And has so much more potential.
He's created us with purpose and has value and sees value in us, and our worth is in him. And then it's a question of identity, right? Our identity should be rooted in Christ and Jesus and what it says. And that's the big struggle, is because we live in this hyper-stimulated, this highly connected digital age, which with that, if there's no boundaries, right? So let's say I use the extreme example of a student who is constantly connected nonstop to the digital world,
right?
In their bedroom at night, nonstop. And some of the effects you'll see of this, like if you were to use the extreme, you'll see, man, they're sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're kind of almost like a little bit of psychosis sets in that, man, this is their whole life and their identity and value is found in that, that with every retweet, with every like, with every positive comment or shout out, that equates to winning for them, right? And then conversely, not having many responses or negative responses or no likes or no retweets or no like interaction equates to losing. And so we know, like from the chemical side of these things, you'll hear this term a lot, is this idea of dopamine release. Dopamine is what is really, it's a neurotransmitter that is released when things of like that are pleasurable happening. Like whether I'm eating an amazing steak and a dopamine is released and like, and this is saying, hey, this is a great thing, right? And even to the sides of sex, right? This is a dopamine release. So we're doing things we enjoy and dopamine is released.
Right.
And so when they hit this tech side of things, they're getting these drips of dopamine with every like or every positive comment and all that. And so, and if I'm nonstop connected to that, right, which is not how things are supposed to be, there's times to have disconnect where that is not constantly flooding our brains, man, they just want more and more and they crave more and more and they crave more and more. And if they're not getting the results they want, their worth, their value, their identity, everything falls out and bottoms out.
So not to put you on the spot, do you have those stats that you had that you share with me about the...
Oh, the dopamine percentages?
That's
unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so like, you know, dopamine's a reality of the way our brains are wired. And so, for example, when like the study was, if you're eating like, let's say pleasurable, like chocolate, as you eat chocolate, your dopamine release goes up by like 50%, okay?
Right.
Sex is 100%. Right. And in the book that I'll recommend of Glow Kids, Dr. Nicholas Kaderis says that sex and gaming is equivalent. So gaming, if you're intense gaming, and even I'd say you would bring in social media to that, that's equivalent to 100% upgrade in your dopamine.
Right.
Now, he goes into the drug abuse side. Cocaine is 350% elevated dopamine. And the highest of all is crystal meth, which is like, what was it, 1,250% more. Right.
Right.
And so all of these things is like, it's this pleasure seeking, right? And so... our kids are inundated with this. And I remember sharing with our students not too long ago of like, you know, as you sit around and you wait for those interactions to happen, and it could even be through text message, it can be through like chat room, all these things that take place. This isn't just the Facebooks and Instagrams, because some people out there might say, my kid's not involved with those things, and that's good.
Your like text messages,
right?
Anything.
I mean, anything brings that. Like if I'm getting, if let's say, for example, let's say it's texting, right? I want to be hitting a certain number of texts today. I feel that need, right? I have people wanting to reach out to me constantly throughout the day, right? And it's like 2-to-1 students to adults, right? I think in the average day, a student, I think we said, receives about 110 texts. I think it was like something ridiculous, an hour or something like that, is on average. And so when I'm getting all these, I feel that people need me and I feel that I have this connection.
Right.
But again, we said earlier, digital relationships have replaced physical, and that's not how it was intended. And so we're not getting the way God has wired us to come face to face and have this social interaction, physical touch, where I see your face and I empathize with you. Empathy is another big thing that gets dropped out when I spend all my time in the digital world. Like I lose empathy because it deadens that, right? Because I'm not around those people.
Right.
And
that's what gets a lot of people in trouble on social media, that they lack that empathy.
Right.
You can see that on Facebook all the time, which is mostly
outrage,
a parent's platform. But you see that all the time. People just blah on because.
And I say that too in this age of outrage where I sit behind a screen and let's say it's you for an example. You stand opposed to me, but I'm not face to face with you. I'm behind a screen. It's easy for me to remove your humanity, remove empathy, compassion, all these things that are crucial to our faith. But when I sit behind a screen, you're not there, you're not present, so it's very easy for me to lash out and say things I would never say to you face to face,
right?
And I've removed that. My empathy has been deadened.
Right.
Now, if I come face to face with you and we disagree, I jokingly said this to our students in middle school, that back in my day in school, before smartphones and all that took off in high school, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you had some beef, right? Or you were like I don't know, you remember these days where, you know, social media, they say some awful things and they do these fake accounts where you don't even know who's saying it, right? Mm-hmm. Back in the day, in the old days, back in my day, like I'm saying that right now, it's amazing. Back in my day,
back in the hizzy,
you know, word got out that Eric said something about Steve, mm-hmm. right?
What's going down?
Steve approaches me in the hallway, bro. No, I didn't say
Sup?
This. like there's accountability there, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
And so we talk about that. We talk about, you know, like. There was a physical barrier back in those days.
Right.
We didn't have this connectivity. So when I left school, when I left basketball practice at the end of school, there was this physical barrier between me and the rest of those those people, right? The rest of my peers.
Right.
There's, if I'm going to connect with someone, I'm literally picking up a phone and dialing that, which wasn't happening much. So like there's a physical barrier, like I would turn it off.
You had to pick up a phone and dial?
Right? Yeah, right? I literally had that, right? And so you had this physical barrier where, you know, I see everybody at school. We might be dealing with some issues. There may be some good things going on. But when I leave school, that's done, right? Like today, and our heightened connectivity, that never stops. Like it never stops. There's never a break. And so I think that's another disadvantage that our students have, are understanding the barriers that need to be put in place, the self-control that needs to be put in place, impulse control, which doesn't really exist much with young kids, right? Of learning to have barriers, to remove yourself from that world, to understand the importance of social interaction, to understand, most importantly, as our first week was, that our value, our worth, our identity is in God the Father and who He says we are.
Right.
It's not in what Twitter, Facebook, our text messages say we
Correct.
Are. Right. It's who God says we are.
Right.
And so that's where we launched into this, because that's what we're finding in this day and age, that the digital world is where kids who are craving connection, who are craving belonging, who are craving worth and value, right? And it's really hard for them to grasp the idea of God and Jesus, right? Well, we know this, we believe this, but, you know, it feels distant,
right?
It feels distant. There's sort of mysticism to that, to understand that He loves you and craves you, He's there with you, but yet there's this physical world of the technological world that's here at my hand 24/7, and it tells me how wonderful I am, or it can tell me how awful I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so
now let us remind you, this doesn't mean we want you to go out and take all their phones away, because
Eric and Steve said to do this.
There's two worlds here. The world that your student is growing up in is a digital world. I know we didn't grow up in that world, and it's more of a face-to-face communication. The balance is teaching your student to be able to do both, and especially to use the digital world in a responsible way, but also be able to communicate with their mouth and listen with their ears, and to be able to work both those. So, you know, we grew up in a world where it was just our ears and our mouth, and maybe every once in a while using our phone. Now it's they're using their phone all the time, the digital world, and they use their mouth, and you got to teach them both that there's a balance.
There's a study in that book, 400 eighth graders and 11th graders, 35% of them, only 35% of them interact face to face. And I was telling Jake, like our producer here, I was telling him, I said, man, I don't think that'd be too hard to extrapolate that out to the larger numbers. Maybe that's 50%. That's still a staggering number.
Right.
60% still to me a staggering number, right?
But
the 35? Amount of times, because the amount of times you come shoulder to shoulder with people in the hallways and on the phone, and you see funny commercials like that of people's heads down on their phone, right?
Right.
And it's again, we're not trying to demonize it. It's like anything else when it comes to our faith and responsibility. It's the importance of learning responsibility and self-control in these things, right? It's an absolute blessing to have. And I'm not trying to tell you that these are just awful. It's just when we don't have guardrails, when we have families that are naive to this is a big deal. That we think it's not as big of a deal as it is, but it is.
Right.
To have some guardrails in place, to especially, so like Glow Kids, the book that we'll be pushing out, Dr. Nicholas Carderis, who writes in here, who uses statistics after statistics, studies after studies, goes into the brain development. His big focus is during those developmental years, big time. And he's a big proponent. If I can hold my kids off as long as I can, I would like to do that. He says 12 would be nice if I can go longer. And he pulls in, which is amazing. He goes, you know, it's incredible that you look to Silicon Valley, who is pushing out all these things, right? the creators of apps, the creators of games and developing things. And he uses some examples of some of the higher ups of like Google, even some excerpts from Steve Jobs of what do they do when it comes to tech? Like Steve Jobs, he said in an interview when the iPad was rolling out and rocking, right? The interview was, oh, your kids must love this. I mean, the tech that's being created and that Apple's coming up with the iPad. And he said it to them, oh, my kids won't be on the iPad. We're going to sit around the dinner table. We're going to have that interaction. Right. And it was just like this incredible statement from a guy. Here's a guy that's creating all this because, you know, he's got a company and he wants to make dollar bills, right? Mm-hmm. But he knows like this is an important time to roll this stuff out. Like it is. And it's a blessing. Right. But he also knows the adverse effects of that.
Right. Well, like Sean Casa told us, his daughter takes a class with Wozniak at school. And when they walk into the class, he tells them, put all your digital stuff away. We won't be using any of that in this class. And it's a class on digital, you know, learning. So.
And so they know. And so, you know, when you get into this world, and if you looked at that, in his book, he talks about how in Silicon Valley, there's a lot of those families in that tech world that their kids are in Montessori schools, which are expensive, but there's no tech involved with that. They want to remove that. And I forgot the name of the Google executive he used where that person was on record, like, I'm trying to hold my kids off as long as possible because I know the addictive side of these things.
Sure.
Right? Even Bill Gates' wife, Melinda, said that. She in an interview, she said, if I could go back and do it over again, I would have held my kids off longer from tech. And we get it. This is tough. My 9-year-old's already asking. When can I get a smartphone? Oh, never, bro. You're going to have a flip phone. So, like, we laugh about that. But it's like he's already asking. And the biggest thing we'll talk about is really because of the social influence, right? That's a hard thing if everyone around me has this at all times, right? I don't want to be that one that stands out and looks uncool, right? I don't want to be the one that has that flip phone. Some people might like that. But like, really. So that's another thing in the book that is addressed. And it's really hard. And parents, we know it's a struggle. We get that. And we're trying to find ways to partner with you to help because, hey, we're talking from a parent perspective as well. I am trying to learn all these things because, one, it fascinates the heck out of me when I read about neuroscience and the effects of all these things on the brain, and especially during those developmental years. And so I'm trying to help you guys. I'm trying to help myself. I'm trying to help whoever just is looking for it. And we've come across some resources that, for me, have blown my mind, have opened my eyes to some things, reinforced some things. And it has me, you know, me and my wife trying to figure out, okay, what are those steps that we're going to start putting in place now before this? And one of those is trying to hold off as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And so, man, and you know, like we said, that first week of this series on No Filter is really all about identity. And those are things that parents, if you're thinking at home, how do you have those discussions? You know, it's important to talk about that. Whether it's in sports or academics or social media and tech, all these things, that there's so many things that are trying to stamp this sense of false identity onto your kiddos constantly.
And
I'm already trying to have that discussion with my son of identity, that you were created by God, that he loved you, he creates you with purpose. He is going to give you gifts and abilities and talents that hopefully you will give back to him, to his kingdom, and that you will share with others, and that you have immense worth and value that no one can take away. No one can take away. No matter what is plastered on social media, no matter how awful someone has talked to you or said some things to you, that hurts and that's painful, but that at the end of the day, you have a creator God who loves you and sees you and knows you and loves you. And like, man, we could go on and on with that.
Right.
And so, man, if that's one of those things, if you wanted to reinforce that into your kiddos, talk about that. And maybe, you know, for me, like my wife and I talked about putting these guardrails in place with our kids as they grow up and how hard it is for even myself to do. And that's the big thing. Like, it's like anything else. Words are words, but action speaks louder, right? Like, so if I'm going to try to get my kid to understand self-control and responsibility and healthy boundaries, man, by goodness, his dad and mom better exemplify
it. Starts right there.
Yep. Right? And I know that's you think, oh, Eric, we're adults. And it's true. Like, he even says that. But, you know, as adults, we understand that. And some of us get the control and self-control, but a lot of us are blowing it as well. Like, you know, I'm just as guilty of that. When I come home after a long day of work and stuff, and I've probably never checked my phone that day, it is so easy for me to hit the couch and get on and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What did I miss today on Twitter news? That's my news source for the most part. What did I miss in the sporting world? What did I miss in our world today? And so I'll sit there, and I in those times, I forget, man, this is the first time I'm home with my kids.
Right.
Right? I forget this is my time to be with them. They haven't seen me all day, and constantly convicted of this. So I understand, man, it's a hard thing as we are inundated with this sense of technology, instant gratification, this overstimulation, all these things that are going on left and right. And so, man, it is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a blessing to be living right now with all this stuff. Like, it really is. I think from the standpoint of sharing the message of Christ and getting that out there, of what a big blessing it is to have this connectivity and be connected with people, but understanding, okay, it comes at a price. It comes that, man, we have to have strong self-control. We got to limit our impulses to you know, be able to take a break from things. To understand, again, our identity and our value and our worth and what God says about us is what matters most.
Right.
And ultimately, how are we using these things to glorify Him in those things? And I know that students don't think like that. It's a struggle. And we try to impress upon them of a healthy responsibility when it comes to, especially the high school side, who is on social media a lot more, of
right.
responsibility, like anything else. Right? Before you open your mouth, before you
think about it a little
right,
bit,
before you hit on their phone and you tweet that out, take a breath and think to yourself, okay, what will come of this?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? That's that impulse control. Take a break and step back and say, okay, hold on. Just like anything else, I can respond out of emotion. And we've talked about this, how students, the emotional seat of their brain is 2 times bigger than the thought processing part of their brain until
right.
they're 25.
Right.
So to step back, yeah, well, for both, that at least to step back from emotion and say, okay, let me process this. I could respond out of my emotion to this and plaster this all over the interwebs and forever regret it.
Yeah, interwebs.
Like that, the interwebs. Yeah. Forever regret it, or just like the way I talk to people, or I could step back and think about this, okay, what good will come out of this, or what bad will come out of this? And again, that's impulse control, right? That's the
right.
big thing, self-control and all this. So that's the aim for the next 3 weeks. So not only talk of social media, we'll be bringing in the component of gaming, because gaming and social media is very much similar in that regard, but gaming takes this even deeper. Like, your immersion into gaming is more of a whole immersion of a person. Like, social media, you're immersed in that as well. But man,
right.
gaming, depending to what level you're playing, fantasy games takes you to a whole nother level. Games like that I was very much involved with, like the Halos and Call of Duties, there's
right.
another level to that. And so we're going to talk about kind of all of those things during this three-week series. Steve, do you have anything you want to add in onto this as we launch into this new series?
Not really. I mean, next week, I'm excited about next week. I'm working with, I don't want to call her Abby, Frank Crockett's daughter, Emma Crockett.
Anna.
I'm working on maybe having her come in and talk to her. If you don't know, Emma's got a story. She was actually in a documentary that's on Amazon, I believe, right now, or yeah. Apple, and we'll hit Netflix here soon, called Social Animals.
Yep.
Kind of talks about the negative effects that social media had on her. And so I'm going to have her come in probably this Sunday and interview her.
Which is the interesting aspect of that documentary, that, like,
yeah.
hers is the negative
right.
component, where the other people involved in the documentary are like this positive thing.
Right.
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 And granted, there's some positivity there, but
sure.
we really want to learn from Emma's story, because that really resonates with people who get their value and identity wrapped up completely in social media.
Right.
Because that was similar to her story, right?
Right. I think one of them is, it's a girl. She actually lives right next to the Kardashians, and she has so many followers and so many, you know, likes and everything like that. So that's what makes her popular. And then another person is this amazing photographer that takes these photographs from amazing places and high places and different places. And then there's Emma's story of just kind of getting bullied in high school because of social media, yeah. and just kind of raking her over the coals, you know, about who she is, and she wasn't really that. So I'm going to have her come in and talk to the students. Wonderful young lady. Yep. I think she'll speak into the hearts and lives of the students.
It'll definitely
and
hit.
And so if you're out there listening, your student hasn't shown up, it'd be a great week for them to come because I think she'll really speak to them.
And what I would, my kind of like next steps, if you're listening to this, okay, now what? What I would really encourage you to do, families, is to really start taking notice at home. Like, start taking notice of your kids. Man, like, the amount of time that is spent there. Like, I think a lot of times we tend to, out of sight, out of mind, we tend to be naive to those, even me as well, like, of thinking about those things all the time, of seeing how much time is spent there. See if you can create times. I would strongly encourage you to remove those. Try to find some times to get together, whether that's a meal, whether that's just sitting in the living room, maybe just talking about the day. Maybe it's a car ride.
Have a game night. I know that sounds difficult.
See if you can create this. And man, even in doing this, you may realize how difficult it is. And it'll show you, too, how far this thing has progressed. Because it's hard. I mean, there's story after story in here about kids that respond out of anger and rage when parents are trying, like, and that's showing the extremes, and not everyone's like that, but the extreme examples of that.
Yeah, don't make my mistake. At Christmas time, my wife goes, "I want to make a puzzle." So we made, we're going to all make a puzzle together. Yeah, so this guy who's never made a puzzle in his life goes out and buys a 2,000-piece puzzle.
Yikes.
Took us 3 months. Yeah. We finally got done last week. You know, my wife took a picture. We're all excited about it. Two pieces missing, you know, but my son was home. He went back to college. He participated. McKenna participated a little bit. We found ourselves just every so often coming back to the puzzle. Of course, my wife was the one that drove all that, but we finally got it done. But it, you know, it gave us some memories. And then I remember there are times during the year that we'll just get together and I'm like, why don't we do that more often? Right. Why don't we do stuff together? And I know I'm just as guilty of sitting around the dinner table or going out to eat or just when we're with it. And I have my phone. And so I've tried my best to take my phone and stick it in my office and it's going to stay there. And I don't get any updates.
It's like Simon Sinek's favorite, like TED Talk. And when he talked that interview, right? Have you ever seen him talk about, I love that dude, where he talks about having your phone with you during discussion. Uh-huh. He goes, let's say your boss comes in and he talks to you and he has his phone in his hand. Do you feel like you're the most important person at that point when he's talking to you? No, like the phone at any moment is going to go off. No. He says, you know, it's the same way in all our discussions. Like our phone is prominent. He goes, for example, let's say you go to dinner. You know, get rid of that phone. Put it away. He goes, on top of it, turning it upside down on the table doesn't make it even more gracious. Like, it doesn't make it better. It says, you know, you're not the most important person in this discussion. This phone is. And he's really funny. He's got a great sense of humor. And he says, and maybe you're one of those two that, you know, you'll look at the phone. There's a phone call coming in. And you'll say, oh, I'm not going to answer this right now. Oh, how magnanimous of you. Like, he goes up, like, you know, have you ever done that where it's like your phone? Oh, I'm not going to answer this. Oh, I'm so gracious to be in your presence. Like, it's really funny
I've been worse. I did it today. So I was talking to one of our staff members. And I saw him in one of the kids' rooms. And he'd do this cool cartoon on one of the market. And I'm talking to I found he's an art ed. Ed's an artist.
I know that.
Yeah, I didn't. Cool. So I'm talking to him. What happens? My phone rings. Hey, Ed, I got to take this. What did I just do?
And it's so true because it is. We. That's like I've got to have this at all times.
Yeah, I didn't
and
even
it's
take
like a
that
sense
call.
Of security. Yeah, and so what I would say with families, you got be aware of it. Look in your
Find
homes. Look around. See how much it takes up of your kiddo's time, maybe even as well as your time, being mindful of it. Try to remove those things. Remove your phone when you're home with your kiddos. Have those discussions.
Right.
Put a puzzle together. Have dinner together. And I know these things can be hard, but try it. Because it's like Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Right.
And this is very true. Very true with our families that we have, it seems like, hardly any time anymore with our families. Right, they're at school all day, extracurricular activities, we work, we're doing other things. Like it's the time together with loved ones is so limited.
Right.
And so how are you leveraging that? And I'm just as guilty of this. Are you leveraging that with, I've got my phone, I'm doing some things, I'm not really fully there and present, I'm not connected, it's just opportunities we miss out on. And like we talked about the 1 week of just the marbles in a jar, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have much time with our kiddos before
every
they're
week,
off to college.
Those marbles decrease.
Every week matters, and find a way to leverage that time.
Right.
And so that's where we're going for the next 3 weeks. No Filter series. We're going to talk more and more about some of these books and resources. Look to our Facebook page. I'm going to upload these books today where you can check them out, ones that we found helpful. Again, if you want to message us on Facebook about maybe some questions you have, we could address some of those in the podcast.
Yeah, I would love that.
But that Facebook page, For the Family Podcast on Facebook, go find it, go like it, go follow it, all that stuff, get the updates for our podcasts. And thank you guys. It's a super important series, and hopefully you'll tune in as we go through this. And we just try to help partner with you all and help ourselves as well as parents. So thank you guys. We'll catch you next week. All right, and now we're going to turn our attention to Southbrook Kids. And as a reminder, we do K through 5th together because even though they're two separate rooms, they almost each week talk on the exact same subject. So we kind of group these together and share what our kiddos are learning in those spaces. I am pleased to have a fun guest with us today. It's Mr. Jason Hills. What up, guy?
What's up? Everybody,
you're so soothing. You're so chill. I love it.
Well, I try to maintain a chill and trill
vibe.
I
understand.
Yeah,
you gotta keep that up. I understand. I get it, my man. It's glad to have you. I'm glad to have you on. Let's do some introductions.
All right.
We have some people tuning in. They're like, "Who's this Jason Hills cat?"
Cool.
I wish I could know more about his trill and chill vibes.
Yeah.
So.
First thing you don't want to do is go to the website and look at my picture because it literally is from
all of us. Don't look at any of our pictures.
When I was first hired on staff, and I have not ever changed it out of principle because it's so awful.
It's amazing. Mine's bad too.
Yeah.
Like, man, you had hair of that? I said, well, I wouldn't really call it having hair.
You were just living the dream at that point. Nightmare, maybe.
Awesome. So, all right. So, if they're going to go to the website and see your picture, what is that job title? What do you do here at Southbrook, Jason?
So, I am the next gen director.
Ooh, that sounds big.
I'm your boss.
You totally are my boss.
Yeah. I'm the department head over next gen. I work with all of Southbrook Kids, all of Epic Student Ministries, all of the stuff that we're doing with digital and creative. Mm-hmm. I'm a part of the LT team, so leadership team here. Yep. And then, man, any job that I get thrown my way, it's a part of
Southbrook. You know?
I just got done walking the building, picking out new Bass Cove.
Ooh.
For all of the building and
that
stuff.
Sounds,
yeah,
that so sounds classy.
Yeah, it's super classy.
What have you been doing? Some Bass Cove.
Bass Cove.
That's great.
Bubble
all right,
bass.
All right. Yeah, you're my boss. We have some fun here.
Yeah.
It's good times. All right, so they got down what you do. So tell them a little bit about your family.
Okay.
You got kiddos,
yeah,
all that stuff. What's going on there at that Hills house?
Yeah, so I have a beautiful wife named Laura. We've been married for 20
oh.
Get it? 1 year this year, because last year
it
was 20. So in March, March 6th, we will be married for 21 years.
Well done.
Yeah.
So close. I think ours is in March.
Yeah. Can you do it?
I think it's
in March
11th, something.
Okay.
My wife's going to be so disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. She's grown to accept it. So,
yeah.
That's cool. We're in March together.
There we go. Cool.
Yeah.
So we've been married for a long time. We have three boys.
Yeah.
Graham is 16 and Gibson is 12, almost 13
Maybe.
In April. And then Grady is 8. They're a blast.
Yep.
We've been at Southbrook for, in April, it will be 11 years.
Wow.
So I came in on the worship arts team.
Yep.
And then kind of did a couple different roles there, worship led, and moved into leading that team. And then worked for a little while with our marketing communications. And now here I am.
Here I am.
Hanging out with Eric
here
every day.
Here we are. Got to wrap it, and that's how it happened.
And that's how it happened.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Anyway, yeah, that's great. And Jason's a Cincinnati Bible College alum. And
yes,
his
I
younger
am.
Brother, Sam, who is doing well for himself in Cincinnati, and kind of went to school with him at CCU. And so, Yeah, I got to work with you for a brief amount of time way back in the day at another church. So it's like fun to have, you know.
Yeah.
And then this full circle of now it's Southbrook. So it's been fun, man. So, well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for talking.
You're welcome. Thanks for making space.
Oh, man. Love it. Love to. All right. And so we got to hear a little bit about Jason. And so Jason's going to be sharing a little bit about what our kiddos learned this past weekend, February 16th and 17th weekend. And again, parents, if you don't know, we've got a Facebook page that you can go and like and follow. Go find it. It's For the Family Podcast. And so there'll be times where we'll upload resources. In fact, we just did a really, I'm selfishly saying this, a really good segment on our students as we're jumping into a series on technology and gaming and social media. And we're going to be uploading a ton of stuff over the next few weeks on that that we've either read or come across that has been super helpful. So, man, I know maybe your kids are young and you're not there yet, but you want some things like that to start considering learning about that. That's also going to be up there that maybe you want to check out and read. So from time to time, we'll put stuff on there. And so go over there and like us and follow us there. And yeah, let's jump into this. All right, let's
sure.
do this. Okay, so this past weekend, I know you've got K through second there, and I've got third through fifth, and they're again the same thing. What did our kiddos get to learn about? I know it's kind of similar for the whole month. The whole month
right.
is kind of the same focus,
yeah.
but we're reminding our families of these things. And so, what do you got?
Yeah,
for us?
So K through second, they were talking about this idea of using what they have to serve others.
Oh, yeah.
Which is which was made known through they looked at Mark, the book of Mark, verses 9
Mark
through
9.
Yeah, Mark 9, where Jesus feeds the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great story for kids because there's not a ton of stories in the New Testament. I mean, the kids are mentioned several times and Jesus is known for having kids coming and hanging out with them and but this is this story that really focuses on a kid.
Yeah.
So I think it makes sense for them they could see themselves in this kid's place.
Absolutely.
If you don't know the story, which is totally cool because we're at a church where people are learning stories all the
time.
So what's cool about this story is that a bunch of people came to hear Jesus teach.
Yep.
And they've been following him around for a long time. And he literally just sits down on the hillside and just starts teaching these people.
Yep.
And as they've been hanging out there for a while, they've been there for a significant amount of time, enough
Absolutely.
Time for the disciples to say, hey, everybody's saying that they're hungry. And it's just kind of this funny thing, like Jesus, like do we send them away to go and get it? I think what the disciples are thinking, like we've got a captive audience. If we send these people away, they're maybe not going to come back. So how do we keep these people captive and like, you know, continue to teach them and share with them? And Jesus basically puts it back on the disciples. Hey, you figured this out.
Right.
Right.
Like, even in the story, The disciples try to send them away.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, it's been a long day. They're probably like, oh, can they just, and you know, in their humanity, can we just be done with this?
Yeah.
It's dinner time. What a natural transition to push these families
right.
all back home. And Jesus says, well, why do we need to do that?
Yeah. Like, we've got a captive audience.
We can do this now, right? We can do this now.
Yep.
And so, again, like they constantly do, they fail to catch on to
mm-hmm.
truly who Jesus is and the things he could do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they are just focused on the fact they don't have enough of in their
right.
mind, right? The kid brings his loaves and fishes,
yeah.
barely any there, right?
Yep.
And they're like, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah, well, and something that's so interesting about that time frame is kids, they were a low portion of the society,
oh,
right? We're led to believe that this was a boy, you know, at that mm-hmm. point. A boy could carry on the family name, so they may have a little bit more value, but they were still a kid.
Bottom, right.
They were at the bottom. So these guys, the disciples, are kind of like, oh, man, what do we do with this?
Right.
And here's somebody that's at the lowest point coming and serving.
Right.
Coming and saying, hey, here's what I have. I can
right.
help out. And I think a lot of times we make this story about what Jesus does, which is super cool. It's an amazing
right.
miracle. And we go really quick over that part.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so we've missed this point.
And the story of that kid is us. It's all of us,
mm-hmm.
right? He in that narrative is us because like it says that, and this story is in Matthew 14, that God has given us all like these, got at least one ability. Now, some may have more, but some, everyone has at least one, mm-hmm. right? And that in this narrative, we all have something to bring to Jesus. Like, well, there are some things we can do, whether that's serving someone in need with that talent or ability, or like this kid, bringing what little he thought maybe, well, I wouldn't say he did, but the disciples thought was
right,
little.
Right.
But he knew kind of who Jesus was, right?
Yeah.
I think this is little, it's not enough, but if I give it to you and put it in your hands, you can just blow this up to something much bigger, right? Kind of like with us. Like, I think even kids think that way, that, man, I see some abilities in myself, but I'm just a kid. What can I do?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, man, no, like you can, just like this kid, you have something to offer. Man, offer that up to Jesus, and you two, you know, together you can feed 5,000. You can feed those around you. And
it's
true, because we do focus on that, because it is. It's a testament to Jesus' divinity and how miraculous he is. But we gloss over the fact this kid knew who Jesus was. In my mind, when I read that, this kid totally understands who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Right? He knows that, man, this isn't enough based on this basket, but I give it to you and it will be enough.
Right. Well, and I think a cool part, there's a couple things that you can read into in between the lines, mm-hmm. right? 5,000 at that point, they would have probably just counted the men.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go, like, was there a wife for every dude that was there? Maybe. So maybe there was 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. We see that there was a kid in it. So then do we know, how many kids? So maybe this was 15,000 people.
Yeah.
There was a ton of people.
Yeah.
And it's weird to think, like, of 15,000 people, did nobody else have food?
Right.
But what I think is really cool is that Jesus sees this kid, like you're saying, believing. Bringing what he has, he's serving, and it's just a little bit. And Jesus says, "All right, I'm going to prove a point.
Yep,
I'm going to make a statement."
And it's a big statement of the fact, and you see that later, right? As you shared earlier, kids being at the bottom rung of the society, which is awful indictment on their society and their culture, was kids and women at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
right? And you see this where the disciples fail to recognize the kingdom of heaven, that it's for everyone. There's mm-hmm. no one left out. And the couple of times where they try to keep kids away from him, right?
Right.
And he says that, no, you let them come to me,
mm-hmm.
right? Let them come to me. And I think you're right. On top of, you know, he sees a kid, he's also going to make a point of this kid's going to have a big part in this story.
Right.
He's going to have a big start. I'm letting him come to me, one, which most rabbis would have just stiff-armed away.
Right.
No way am I going to let this kid around.
And, right.
And so he instantly sees, you know, he's got value and worth, and let him come to me. And then with what he brings, we're going to feed everyone.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just a really cool story when you think, especially think of it from that perspective.
Yeah. Well, and I think something that's also neat about that is that, like, we talk about little kids being selfish, right? They don't share well, or they don't do those things.
It's my kids don't.
Yeah. But I also think that there's a time frame when kids are inherently caring as well.
Yes, for sure.
Like, they're not worried about, you know, class or gender or, you know, like somebody's qualifications. You know, they see people really, they see people like themselves. They see them as another kid. Mm-hmm. They don't see them as what they're not or what they are.
Right.
And I think there's definitely a certain age where that changes.
Right.
You know, like where all of a sudden, there's this real picture of like, oh my gosh, if the disciples really got it, they could look at this kid and begin to learn from him.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And that's part of what Jesus is doing here, is he's saying, be more like this.
Right.
Be more trusting, be more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, absolutely. Granted, we haven't got into the service part of things. Eh, we have a little bit.
We have.
You know, like,
and that story is that young kid is an act of service, right?
Absolutely.
He's bringing what he doesn't know to what end this is going to result in, right? But I have something.
Yep.
I know there's a need. That's the big thing of the story. He sees the need, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows that they're wanting to feed these people. And so he says, I have something
mm-hmm.
with you. This could be something even greater. So I'm going to bring it to you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so that's really like that act of service of saying, hey, first of all, like we tell kids, even from a young age, you have something you could offer, right? I mean, I don't know how you talked with your kids about it, making sure that as well, even with our kids. I mean, from the basics of learning to live selflessly and with eyes for others, and to look and see if there's needs or things we can do to help. Like, I constantly talk to my kids about, you know, that, like we say, that God has value and worth and has given you abilities and gifts. And I ask them all the time, do you think God gave that to you just for you? You think the end goal is for you to be selfish with this?
Right.
And they're like, no. Like,
Yeah, of course.
It takes a little bit to get there. And like, no, like, his hope is that you'll give out of this, out of compassion and care and love for others. And yeah, we're going to miss it many times. But to have those discussions of how I can help and serve from even from a young standpoint is a great thing to start drilling into their heads as we talk about just living on this blue marble with others,
right.
Like looking to others to see what are things I can offer and help with, even at a young age.
Yeah.
Do you have those discussions with?
Oh my gosh!
Things you can,
too many times, right?
Right,
to the point where, just like any other parent, Laura and I feel like broken records a lot.
Right.
You know, that's a conversation that she and I are always in. Is that our job is to help our kids become productive members of society, right? Like when they grow up and leave our house, they need to be able to not just exist in society, but be able to give back to society and be productive, be a part of it. So every opportunity is ultimately a training opportunity for them.
For sure.
So I think one of the biggest things that we're always in discussion about is selfishness, you know, like this idea of when I think of myself first, then someone else doesn't get to receive whatever it is in whatever situation. So it really does come down to serving. It really comes down to Gibson as a brother recognizing that when he does this thing, whatever it is, it gets in the way of grade, and that it's his littler brother receiving that thing as well. And so the thing I think as parents that, you know, and as family members, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as people that are in kids' lives, that we have to remember is that our kids are receiving messages every single day. They are receiving messages about who they are, their value, their worth. They're receiving messages about what they can do in society. That's already happening. And so the question that we always ask myself is that if I'm not giving them that message, who is?
Right.
Right.
And find it somewhere.
It's happening. Yes. It's happening from YouTube or from, you know, like it's happening at school and it's happening on the bus and it's happening from teachers and everything.
They might be dual messages. They might be hearing you at home.
Right.
But they're also hearing another message.
Right. They are.
At home.
They are. They're hearing 20,000 messages every day. And so what I want to make sure that Laura and I are doing, or we're being parents that are recognizing these teaching moments and actually taking them, like taking the opportunity to help our kids, help our kids get it. And just like the disciples, I'm not super good at looking at the teaching moments that I'm having with my kids and applying them to me.
Right. I think we all struggle with
that. You know? So even in this conversation, that's one of the things that's making me think about, like, oh my gosh, I talked to Gibson or Graydon or Graham about this thing. How am I doing on that?
Yeah. And I think that's, and in our humanness and vulnerability, again, that's why I tell our parents and our families all the time, I think that's good to share, right? Like, I think when I talk to my son, hey, man, listen, I struggle with this too. I know it's a hard reality. Look, we read the story, and the other story that was covered in like third through fifth is the disciples arguing over who's going to be the greatest. A very superficial, selfish argument.
Brotherly, right?
They're
for
walking
sure.
with
yep.
Jesus,
yep.
and they are having these arguments that I think, and that really reflects where we are. Like, man, we walk. Hopefully close to Jesus, and there are times where we're still going to blow that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to argue. Like they, you know, when he comes back, he says, what are you all arguing about? I know you all are arguing on the road. And it literally says, well, they became quiet because they were arguing over who would be the greatest.
Yeah, because they felt like idiots at that point.
Right.
The Son of God already knows what's going on here, dudes.
Yeah. And that's where he says that key verse, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all, which is like, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Right.
It's so true, because it it goes against our human nature, right? As we talk about this, like I constantly say, this dualistic spirits that we walk with, human nature and then our spiritual nature, right? Those two are at odds constantly, right? Our humanness is like, man, just press the flesh, be to satisfy the whatever you selfishly want at all times, forget other people. And then it's the spiritual side, it's like, no, dude, like kick that to the curb, man. It's about others and being compassionate, empathizing. And so it's a really hard, and man, at a young age with kids getting them to grasp it, it's hard. But there's some things we can do, and that's what I kind of wanted to kind of segue to here is like, what are some things that, man, if I have a kindergartner, what are some things I can do at this stage all the way up to fifth grade? And I know it's like plant, it's like planting seeds, right? We're planting seeds at a very young age that hopefully those grow in to these full-grown plants of service. But it starts young at planting these thoughts of thinking of others, whether that's at school, whether that's at home. Home is obviously, especially at a young age, a very natural place to start thinking about, man, how are some ways that we could even start thinking of serving at home, whether it's from just the simple things of setting a table for dinner or helping with the dishes if your kiddos are around there. And like, you know, if they're in school, we talk about that, encouraging words on the bus ride to others. My daughter, I shared this last week, loves, like, she's constantly drawing, like she's gonna be this artist and gets none of this from me. But she's constantly got this heart of compassion of drawing and writing encouraging notes to her friend. Everyone's her friend at this age. She's first grade, so everyone's a friend, right? I'm like, Addie, what's your name? I don't know. But everyone's a friend, and I love her heart. And so there's times where I think to myself, gosh, she's constantly drawing. Like, baby, we got to go to bed. We got to eat, and I want to stop it. And then I fail to realize, man, almost every time she's doing it, it's for someone else. And I'm like, this is a really cool thing to talk about of, you know, she goes to school, gets on a bus and passes these things out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Where, you know, that's a great way to start, you know, cultivating that. Mm-hmm. Like, I started, I'm like, why am I, like, absolutely, go to town with that thing. Like, take all of those to school. Like, you know, it's a great way to encourage and reinforce that. So we've turned that into, like, that's her thing. She loves doing that. So it's turned into this. You know, it just might be a word or two to a friend, but it's like this cut out heart or whatever.
That's
she'll
great.
Draw it like, oh, do that. That's cool. You know, it's fantastic. It'd be awesome if you did that with your brother. But it's just, we joke. But it's a cool way to cultivate that. And so even with my older son, Braden, it's like, how can you do these things in fourth grade now? And he's very much starting to get to that age of self-awareness of self, being more aware of what's mine and when to keep this, and so he's got a big heart, but it's like getting him to understand how can you view things at school or in your hallways or whatever, and see a need there. And so, like, for him, he's helped some kids in his class who are struggling to, for him, he loves math, which again doesn't get it from me. But he'll sit a little bit longer with a couple students and kind of, that's what I've told him, help them in it. Like, if you get it, help them. And so, yeah, we're starting to try to cultivate that and find ways for them to see maybe needs around them or some of the things they have. Hers is artsy, and use that. You get this math, these math principles, use that. We don't think of those things that we're doing in our given day like that and think of how we could use that to benefit others. And so I think that's, we've been trying really hard, and we blow it at times, obviously, and especially when you're dealing with kids, right? But hoping to find, like, the natural course of a day to find ways to step in and serve, whether it's at home, at school, wherever that is. Is there anything that you guys have done, like, I don't know if it's serving as a family. I don't know if there's, like, things you've, I don't know, have gone on with Gibby or...
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we try to do is that we try to have intentional conversations.
Yeah.
So when we see something, we don't just say, hey, good job. We work at taking time to have conversations about why that thing That's that great. You did mattered.
That's great.
Or why that thing you did impacted. You know, like, I think as parents, one of our jobs is to kind of slow the pace down a little bit. Because usually I think relationship really lives inside a reaction a lot. So we're somebody does something, we react to it,
yeah.
And that ramps the pace up of how that interaction happens. But if, as a parent, part of your job is to slow it down and be able to see and point out the things that you're noticing. So I don't know who it was. I mean, and this isn't a new idea, but the I see in you kind of statements.
Yeah.
Hey, you did this. I saw that.
That's great.
Let me point out. Let me point out why that's cool. Like the other day, one of the things I keep talking about Gibson, but his ideas about him are coming to mind right now.
Yeah.
Like one of the things, he's pretty analytical. He's pretty type A. In certain things, there's a very so we have him do a lot of jobs around the house that are task oriented, that he can accomplish something at the end of it,
yeah.
And that there can be he could see that there's a right way to do it, or a right-ish way, right?
Yeah.
So he loads the dishwasher and he unloads the dishwasher, yeah. He puts things away and things. And so the other day, he had been putting stuff away, and just like everybody else, we've got that Tupperware count, drawer that's
the dreaded Tupperware.
Seriously,
account.
There's 49 things in this drawer, but you can only find one of them,
right?
Regardless
nothing matches up.
Nothing matches.
You know, throw it in there.
So Gibson and I, I'm like, all right, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna help you. We're gonna take everything out. We're gonna look at it. We're gonna figure out how to organize it well.
Yeah.
And we're gonna put it all back in, and this moment of he and I doing this became this really enjoyable task.
That's cool. Yeah.
Because I'm able to say, hey, look, when you do this, here's what happens.
Yeah.
Here's how this helps us. Here's how
Which
helps our family.
Which is key for a preteen, because we talked about this last week. Their mind, they want to know how things work.
Exactly.
Right? So when you do that and share, hey, this is how it helps, I mean, that hits right at home with kind of where their personality is for that time,
or
middle schooler as well. They all want to know how things work from about fifth grade through middle school. And so that helps. I'm sure that helps a lot hit on their.
Yeah. And so so what's crazy is that turned into another cabinet that needed organized that we dumped out and took everything. And he led that one. Like that was him. I'm like, okay, you show me how we need to do this. And he did it. And what's cool is it's been a week and those two cabinets have stayed really organized.
That's nice. How wonderful.
Oh my gosh.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I can write down my process.
Bring him over. But I think it's great because when you do it like that, when you explain it like that, it almost takes it from a task. It's not just this task obligation, I have to do another chore. It takes it into, oh, wow, this is kind of like a need, like mom and dad. Like I say this all the time. If I'm not doing this or I'm not stepping up and helping like this, it's another thing that mom and dad are doing constantly for me. I share that with Braden. It's like, you realize I'm at work. Mom's at home all day getting things together, cooking, doing all this. When you step into the dishwasher and help out and load it, right, you do a great job with this, and with that effort, it's super important. But you free that up for mom or dad, we don't have to do that, right? And so it becomes this whole mindset of this is a need that I can help out with, and it helps the whole family,
for
sure. And we can find our Tupperware all together again
for the family,
for the family,
for
there
the
you go.
Family.
There you go. So I would say this as we end up, some practical things to do, like we shared, like that. Maybe making a task more than just a task. Talk about how what you're doing around the house or with others really helps around the house, not just a task. I would say sitting down with your kids and reading through some of these stories is super helpful. Of Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Matthew 14 could be great. If you have it on the Bible app, I would read it in the New International Reader's Version for kids. That's really a great way to read through that.
Well, and something really cool too is to make sure if you haven't already downloaded the Parent Q podcast or the Parent Q app.
Yep.
The Parent Q app will have all of these, this curriculum side by side with this. The story will be there, the things they've talked about.
For
so
sure.
Make sure you've got that on your phone or your tablet or whatever so you can access it.
And another great read that I always is one of my favorites is John 13, where Jesus washes the feet. Because that's really him. That's him, and again, talking at length about service. That service really boils down to washing feet. Right? That's how we're to live as Christ followers, washing feet, finding things that we can do to serve and help, and that's all he was about, right? I came to serve, not to be served, was like this mission statement, right? So, man, read with your kids. Find some ways that you guys can talk about service, why it's important to look to needs of others, and that God has given us all abilities. All of us have abilities, and the hope is that we can give back with those. And finding ways they can do that at home and their schools, encourage letters, encouraging words, man, whatever those are, that goes a long way. So, yeah, brother, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem, man. We'll have you back again.
Get to All hear right.
from Jay Hills. So thanks, families, for tuning in. Hopefully that's super helpful as we continue to talk about service and SB Kids. And we hope to talk with you again next week. So tune in next week for another podcast of For the Family. Thanks, everyone.